Welcome. Winning at life. This is the Daily Wrap. Yes, all the financial news. Tips for your money. Winning with your money. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is Live Financial Talk Radio.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, we're going to continue and finish the list of going down the industries that millennials are ruining. Absolutely ruining. And then we're going to have a nice little frank discussion here about what is going to knock this market off the rails. On a long enough time scale, the business cycle will rear its ugly head. There will be a downturn. There will be another bear market. No, we can't tell you exactly when it's going to happen, but we can give you an idea of some things that we're looking at that could take it down and things you can keep an eye on so you can know when that's going to happen. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory 504-260-0995 or give us a call or text from the Winning at Life app.
Get the phone, make the call.
Oh, you're doing that again. That's going to stick. That's going to work.
It is. I like it.
Well, you have to wait until the rest of football season goes through, and it's just been hammered into everyone's head every Saturday and Sunday, because they do it on Saturday and Sunday like nobody's business. But yeah, what is it? Get the call? No, get the phone, make the call?
Yeah, get the phone, make the call.
All right. Gonna stick. That's good stuff. All right, did you want to just go straight to the list that we were working on yesterday with the millennials ruining everything?
Yeah.
I just love these topics.
Cracking me up. Yeah, the millennials. Well, you know who they are. Yeah, you. It's 18 to 34 year olds. Yeah, you're the ones. You've affected casual dining change. You've changed them. Casual dining chain restaurants.
Yep.
And what you're wanting is casual quick dining.
Fast casual is what it's called.
Fast casual.
So like a Chipotle or a
kind of quick, but yeah. Exactly like that. And look, Buffalo Wild Wings, they think is kind of in between there, but like, TGI Fridays,
yeah, Applebee's Chili's,
all those
Outback
are being affected. But you know, I'll tell you this. You know, some of the restaurants I like and you like as well. Why? It's good food. And I think this for millennials is, you know, you think about when you were, say, between 20 and 30. Did you think about like, you're going out a few times a week and you want to spend an hour or so. Yeah, let's get a table, have some conversation, have a glass of wine. Relax, then order our food.
My grandma used to say, let's go somewhere nice and be waited on.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I like, where these, what do you call them? Fast casual?
Fast casual, where they just crank you out. You go through the little cafeteria line and they spit you out. That's like the most.
Yeah, it's almost like the buffet there. But yeah, you go there, take your order. By the time you get there, it's right, and you can go sit down or take it with you. You know, we went in mid-city of New Orleans a few months back on some of our Monday lunches that we did, and we went to this, remember in mid-city, and I said, this is just another burrito place, but it had a different name, and maybe we shouldn't mention that because that might be a negative to it, so I don't want to do that. But, you know, when we got there, yes, they had two different lines. Everybody ended up at the center, and it's a burrito place. I'm like, this is not what I was looking for. Thank goodness they had a bar so we could have a place to sit, have a drink, beer, it was, and eat our burritos there. So, but at least we were waited on that part. But yeah, that's kind of like that. Even I go to restaurants, a lot of times we go to restaurants, you and I, James, is sit at the bar, have a drink, and service for lunch. We're not having to wait in line. You know, how many times did I agree to go do that? None.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, it's just.
Well, shifting priorities.
Just that one. But it's just thinking of that. And that's where I'm getting to is, I think as that demographic ages, it changes to more of the casual dining. It's with maturity. You didn't like it when you were young. And you know what? I didn't either.
Having to sit still, can't make a lot of noise, and everyone's being quiet and proper. And
yeah, now we like, and probably you and your wife, when you get away from the kids and the hustle and bustle, you're probably enjoying that now.
Yeah.
Whereas 10 years ago you didn't. And heck, I do. I'll tell you that. It's a break.
Well, it's a different set of priorities here. You know, when you're in your 20s, the difference between a $12 meal and a $25 meal is catastrophic. So that, and you don't mind eating off of a unfolded piece of paper. You know, you want to get your food, you want to get in your fat face, and you want to get back to life, and you want it now.
Yeah, and you're looking at pricing too. I remember back then I looked at pricing.
Oh, constantly.
Yeah, and look, full disclosure, I don't look at pricing. I order what I want to order. Like, it's a restaurant that does rostier chicken, and you know, the lunch is a smaller portion. And they said, do you want the lunch portion or dinner portion? Heck, I'm on barbecue chicken. Give me the dinner portion at lunch. If I don't want to eat it all, I don't eat it all. But yeah, a couple bucks more. Want what I want.
Different set of priorities.
So millennials have changed weddings. They don't necessarily like the parents paying and controlling and doing the big hauls. They're more like, let's get married on a beach in a barn. Talked about that. I was at one of those barn. I swear on the outside, it looked like a barn when we went in. It was pretty nice, but that's different.
Yeah.
Barn on a cow pasture for your wedding. Beer has fallen roughly 3% a year over the last 15 years. And millennials don't like mayonnaise.
Changing tastes. Remember that movie?
What was it? Officer and a Gentleman? You know, the drill sergeant? Mayonnaise?
I don't think I've ever seen
an Officer. You hadn't seen that movie?
No. Oh. My mayonnaise reference is from Pulp Fiction when he says in Holland they put it on their fries.
Never had it on the fries, but I like it on my burger, my turkey sandwich, especially the one I have right after Thanksgiving, that, you know, pulled turkey.
Oh, yeah.
On some white bread, a little bit of mayo. You know, that's pretty good. Let's see. Where were we? Yeah, we caught up on those. We're to the starter homes. Millennials are finally buying homes. One of our wealth team members, the Total Wealth Authority, Alicia Nugent Freeland, you know, what she talked about is 8-year delay. And they're talking about this here in this report is millennials finally buying home. A 2017 report from real estate website and app Zillow found that millennials, you know, once again, 18 to 34 are the largest group of home buyers in the U.S. However, it took them longer to get to this point than other generations. Why?
They're less likely to take the cut in a standard of living, huh?
And they're already making payments on a house. It's called the college degree.
Right.
They're still paying for it. That's not mentioned here, but we've chronicled that. It is a big impact. That age group holds the most debt, which surprisingly, those folks approaching retirement is a surprising good bit of them that still owe. And some of it's delinquent. As a result of limited starter home inventory, they're renting longer. Why? Yeah, college debt. And when they buy their first home, they're buying a much nicer one than the prior generation. Yeah, because they're having to skip the starter phase because they're paying off college debt. All of a sudden, they free up that money and the rent money. They shift that. Oh, we don't have to get the little house. Let's get the mid one or larger.
All right, though. So the starter house thing is going away. A couple things we noticed from millennials is, number one, is they are big drivers of convenience. How many of the things on this list are just a convenience issue? Because like cereal, they don't like to eat cereal. Why? Cereal sales have dropped 11% over the last 5 years. 40% of millennials surveyed said cereal is too inconvenient because you have to clean up after eating it. That was reported.
They heard of paper bowls?
Well, don't give them any ideas. it's a convenience issue. So many of these things are driven by convenience.
Okay, so cereal makes a mess. So, you know, we talked about them cooking. They're more likely to cook or do takeout or the fast casual. But I don't get how cereal's making more of a mess.
I don't think it has to make sense. That's just the answer they gave. I can't explain it either.
What about restaurants?
Well, that's because
ruined that. The Hooters,
Twin Peaks. There's a few more of those. They're a little more popular in our neighbors to the west. Because I remember there's
You and I've done lunch together at
Twin Peaks.
I don't think we've ever been to Hooters.
I've
been to Hooters a couple times. Long time ago that I go for the food. I'm sorry. Nothing wrong with me though.
Well, I mean, it's a different world. If you want to see some of that, you can just look on your phone, see the real thing. Yeah.
So you can say the internet affect and millennials affected restaurants.
It's just not that hard to come by these days.
Well, what about department stores like Macy's and Sears? We know Sears I think I saw it at 74 cents a share today.
Oh, it's going to get delisted.
They've announced more stores closing. It's done.
Well, how do you explain golf? Why millennials are less interested in golf? Is that a convenience thing as well?
Yeah, it takes too much time.
Got to go out there for 3 hours and follow this little ball around.
Probably would be considered expensive.
It's definitely expensive.
Yeah.
All right.
We have a couple more when we come back.
Financial situations, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hey. Winning at Life. We're going to live forever. That's what the millennials think as well, I think.
Well,
that's what young people, that's why they make great soldiers. Military likes the younger people. What? Get shot and come back. That's not me. It ain't gonna happen to me. Actually, James has been that way for years, but I think he doesn't quite think that way so much on everything. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is Winning at Life. It's live financial talk radio. Download the Winning at Life app. You can text, email, call us from the app. A lot of resources, podcasts. We're gonna get preempted by basketball for the next few months. That'll be 1, 2, or 3 times a week, but you can go pick up the podcast. We're creating a podcast library by subject, but you can stream the show, which everything's about streaming. We're on Facebook Live. We're on Periscope, and we do send out a Facebook post every day announcing what the show is. So it's the Winning at Life page. You go to the Gregory Ricks page. You go to the Women Winning at Life page. Isn't there one other page I'm missing? Gregory Ricks and Associates page, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a few. But hey, we will hook you up with topic and such on what's going on. And if you'll get the phone so you can make the call, it's 504-260-0995. On the break, I heard Angie in my headset saying there are some problems with the causeway. What do you know about that, Angie?
Yes. Now, if you're trying to head home to the North Shore from the South Shore right now, northbound causeway bridge closed. And there's a multi-car accident mid-span on the bridge, which has both lanes blocked right now. So, again, they're just closing the whole span until further notice.
The whole northbound, southbound northbound still good?
Northbound span, correct.
Yeah, sorry to take some time for this for our listeners over in Mississippi and Alabama, but in the microcosm of New Orleans, you have New Orleans at the bottom part of Lake Pontchartrain and the North Shore, it's the one bridge that goes straight across. And if that thing ever gets snarled, it creates a big amount of problems for about 50,000 commuters.
And well, your only alternate really, or there's a couple, I-10 twin spans, Slidell.
Yeah, you got to go around the lake. You either go through Slidell
or
I-55. Hammond.
Yeah, right.
There's really that, and those aren't options. That's going around the lake. There's only one way over that sucker.
So, yeah, that is a workaround, but it's a long one.
So if you were thinking about stopping off on the way home and having a beer with your coworker, you have an excuse built in for the spouse. See how that was gender neutral? Because that could go either way. I would imagine Miss Parker would do that to me at some point, too. And she'd be okay to do it. So thank you for the update there, Angie. I hope it saves some people some grief. And if you people are about to get on the causeway and you're wondering why it's all backed up, that's why.
I'll keep an eye on it. If it opens up in the next 30 minutes, I'll let y'all know.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Angie. Yeah, Angie Burley, traffic reporter extraordinaire. Also happens to be on our show.
Yeah, it just happens. That's awesome option for us to have her to go to.
All right. Now, I'm interested in this next entry on where we're going through the industries that millennials are just ruining.
And did we talk about the toys? I know you've got a topic there, but I'll go with what you're starting with.
Motorcycles. Why?
Yes. And I'm glad you, because that's what I was thinking when we went to break, was that millennial indifference seems to be playing a part in motorcycle sales slump over the last decade. And this has been going a few years now. So what's your take on that?
I don't have an answer for that. I don't know why, because it's not an inconvenience issue. In fact, in some ways, it's more convenient. You know, when I had my goofy little fruitcake scooter that I was taking around, you know how easy it was to weave it through traffic or just jump up on the curb and go around something?
Look,
you can park anywhere. Are they safety conscious?
We are not in Italy. We're not in Barcelona. You know, it's different here. You know, they have little cars that could run you over. Here we have giant cars that can run you over, and this in and out stuff. And over there in Europe, people are accustomed to the little cycles darting in and out and weaving through to the front of the red light, and then they take off.
Okay.
Drivers here don't put up with that. You get in line behind me. My F-150 was ahead of you, and it intends to stay. You know, the bicycle lanes are for bicycles. You know,
you're beating me up. Can we get back to beating up millennials?
And no, I'm okay. Not beating you up, but that's just the thinking of it. And I don't know why. The data suggests what generation Y population is adopting motorcycling at a slower rate than prior generations.
It's getting worse and worse as the years go along. What about this theory then, Gregory Ricks? The millennials were the first generations to be raised by helicopter parents. So they are over safety conscious. This is the first
helicopter parents.
Yeah. Huh? This is the first group of kids that when they rode bicycles down the street, Gregory, to go see their friend, they wore a helmet. Isn't that cute? When they went out on their skateboards, they probably had knee pads and elbow pads and the little wrist guards or whatever. They're the safety conscious group.
Well, they're, you know, it wasn't like when skateboards first came out long time ago. What's it, back 60s?
Before I was born, like I don't that. Know.
Yeah. And let's say they had skateboards and they had metal wheels and stuff, not these hard plastic to go fast. And they weren't taking and jumping and sliding their skateboard, standing on it down guardrails and doing in these empty, this flying through the air stuff. And, you know, this Generation X Games type thing,
mm-hmm.
You know, they use skateboard to get from A to B. And now it's totally crazy thing. But yeah, they need helmets and stuff. And you know what? If you're riding a motorcycle, you need helmets. You need a
bicycle.
You should wear a helmet.
No.
Your kid's wearing a helmet.
No.
Well, what if they hit their head when they fall?
What? I
concussion. No. Brain injury.
You know how many times I fell off a bike and hit my head?
Oh, I had. I don't know about you, but I did have a serious bicycle accident when I was in early teens, and yeah, it put me in the bed for a couple weeks.
Were you wearing a helmet?
No, I'd probably done better.
Yeah.
And not had that happen. Let's just say if I was wearing a helmet, but who'd have thunk it back then?
I mean, this is the generation of kids that you can't even leave them in the car anymore when it's 60 degrees with the windows down or someone's going to call the cops on them. I think this may be an aversion to danger. You know, they're faced with this danger that they've never dealt with before. How about that theory on motorcycles? Maybe we'll leave it at that.
I can't disagree with that. And I am a Harley owner. What year am I? I have a 2008 Rocker C, pretty cool bike, and it's in the warehouse, nicely covered. Wife likes it that way. You know why? Yeah, she looks at it at risk. So I think it comes down to it feels a bit more risky. But gosh, the sound of the engine, the wind blowing in your face.
Right.
Yeah. So I can just only imagine that.
It must be cool. All right, let's do the toys then, because the toys isn't really their fault.
The millennials?
Yeah. See, the toy industry is getting killed by millennials because fertility hit a record low in 2016. Oh,
yeah. There's more than just the millennials on that fertility rate. Too busy to have kids, huh?
Well, look, I had my last kid in 2015. I can't do everything, y'all. Someone else is going to have to pick it up. But we cranked out four real quick, 4 and 5 years, and then we're done. And I guess we're sort of an anomaly. Although we were late starters, technically, I'm a Generation X guy. But because they're having so few, it kind of explains what's going on with Toys R Us. So it's a fertility issue. It's not that they're less interested in toys. They're too old to play with toys anyway. They're just not cranking out kiddos.
Is there a gap because they've put off having kids, you know, the college debt thing and having to pay that off, save some money?
Yeah, that would contribute to it.
So
for it,
so that's instead of just whatever, it's kind of shifted to a mindset. Look, we need to put that off. You think about it, it's older moms typically.
Well, now, millennials are getting so old here, they're about to run that biological clock straight out, because the older millennials are, what, 35 now? So I don't know how much longer they can put it off without it just being a no on the fertility issue altogether.
And millennials don't like to shop at malls. They don't like big box stores. They don't like Sears.
That's so weird, because when I was a teenager,
it turns out they don't like Macy's either. But it's not, there's nothing personal to the stores. Hey, my wife, Stacy, she don't like going. Hey, can I order it online? It'll be here faster than if I go get it, the way she thinks. Like, I don't have time to go. Just, that's what I want. Send it to me.
Wasn't the mall one of the coolest places you could be when you were a teenager, though?
Oh, what, yeah.
That's where everything was happening. You go get an Orange Julius, hang up by the fountain, check out the chicks.
Yeah, I forgot about Orange Julius. You don't see those anymore, do you?
I think Dairy Queen bought the intellectual property, and they sell them at Dairy Queens now. We don't have any Dairy Queens in New Orleans.
Is that
though.
Fast casual?
No, Dairy? That's fast There's, food.
I think there is one.
The one on Metairie doesn't count. It's some franchisee bought the sign, but he doesn't offer but a third of the menu. It's pathetic. It's a disgrace.
So you're disappointed.
It's a disgrace to the Dairy Queen name.
So did we killed all this?
Home cooking.
Cereal.
Old school yogurt.
Oh, napkins I thought was interesting. Younger consumers are opting for paper towels over napkins. I like the bulk bundle of paper towels. You know, it's not the full sheets. It's tear a sheet. So, you know, you
can do the little skinny ones.
Tear how much you want.
I'm with you on that one, millennials. People beat you up all the time. You're right on this one.
And I don't buy napkins. That's what paper towels are for. I'm down with that. And fabric softener, there's something they don't like that either, but we use it. You use it?
Oh, yeah. You're a monster if you don't. You know what happens to your towels if you don't? All right. Financial situations, 504-260-0995. Do you know what happens if you don't use them? It's not soft. I'm James Parker. We're winning it live with Gregory Ricks.
Okay. We're back. 504-260-0995. Let's talk about that Social Security payment. That check from the Treasury. Did you get it? My sister's owed one from the Treasury regarding mom's last Social Security check they owe us.
You ready to tell that story?
No, we're not going to tell that. We're going to tell that
when it's finished
Saturday morning. We are going to cover it this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We're on live 10 to 1, and I'm going to cover a live situation regarding my mom passing and how we dealt with Social Security on the end. And I talked to Susan today. She still hasn't got that check. I'll explain that. So I think that's a good part of the story. I did text her and say, hey, you may have to call Trump. And then a few minutes later, text come back. You know, I would, but he's too darn busy with the Democrats. And I did the LOL. Yeah, tell me about it. So he can't help her out there. And I don't remember the name of the guy running the Treasury at the moment. I was going to say, text him. I'll send you his number. But heck, I couldn't even remember his name. I guess he's doing a good job.
You talking about Mnuchin, that guy?
Yeah, exactly. He's doing a good job. He must not have any dirty laundry out there, because it would have been exposed. Everyone, but think about
everyone
it.
Everyone threw away their yearbooks from the late 70s. Is that what happened?
Yeah, he's not done anything. No cheating on the tax return. No affairs. No groping.
Did I see him drink a beer the other day?
No drinking beer when he was 17.
I think he had one the other day.
No alternative names in the yearbook. So, you know, he's, you know, in the sense it's quiet, you know, he's like, dude, that guy's got to be good. I hadn't heard from him in a while.
It's the greatest compliment you can get in this administration.
Yeah. And there was, Stacy and I was talking about somebody that they is like, gosh, we hadn't seen them around in a while. Somebody must have shut her up. But that's somebody on the Democratic side. Pelosi. Where's she been? We're used to having her making some ridiculous comments.
Well, they've been showing her counterweight in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, through this whole process. You're right.
Oh,
they're,
yeah.
They're ignoring
it's,
her.
It's a whole nother list of characters on both sides right now there. But we obviously are digressing. But let's finish this up. Old school yogurt.
These are industries millennials are killing?
Yes, yeah, it's still there. 5% decline in overall sales from 2017 to 2022 is what they're expecting. That is September, that yogurt sales dropped 2% in the U.S. in the most recent quarter due to declines in Greek and light yogurt sales. I'd actually gotten into yogurt a little bit lately where I don't know, back in the day it was something like, yuck.
Really?
And now it's like, especially with the fruity stuff that's sitting at the bottom, you got to stir it up. Instead, General Mills is turning up to up-and-coming types of yogurt to boost sales, such as French style and Wii by Yoplait.
What?
Yeah. So, I don't know anything about that, but what I can relate to is soda sales. How about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of on that too. Well, here's the big question. Give me your definition of soda, because I used to drink
Coca-Cola, Pepsi.
Well, where I'm from, they're just called Cokes.
Yeah.
Is that a rule in Mississippi?
And that's why, yeah, I want a Coke.
What kind?
Well, we don't have Coke. We have Pepsi. Whatever. Back in the day when I used to drink sodas, the only, and I'm not sure if it's carbonate, but only soda that makes noise when you open the can or bottle is root beer. And I like a Beta root beer. That's the only thing I'll drink. Otherwise I'm drinking juices, water, wine. You know, I'm not drinking carbonated drinks.
So you haven't sort of evolved into the LaCroix faction?
I tried that. And that's what I was thinking of, is how the shift has gone. And that's why you see the company Coca-Cola and others acquiring other drink brands and such. And of course, Fizz is way too expensive. Well, I shouldn't say that, but they've never made a run at Fizz, just their competitors in that space. But in your house, y'all, what's it called again?
LaCroix?
LaCroix. I actually have it in my fridge as well. I'm not the one that hits it. I'll just grab a bottle of water.
Well, since we've been talking about Fizz, the parent company of Shasta and LaCroix, and observing this evolution in how we have our soft drinks, there's been a new development just in the last 12 months, and that's these off-brands and the store brands have all started copying LaCroix, and most of them have variations on LaCroix. However, they're their own thing because they don't have a pamplemousse flavor, Gregory Ricks. They don't have the... What are some of the other goofy flavors that they have, like a cucumber something or other? They're doing more normal flavors. They're like, this is just a lime.
I like Blackberry Shasta.
Yeah. Well, see, here's...
But that's what Fizz sold 30 years ago.
When you have a Blackberry Shasta, it's like having all the sweetness of Coke.
But, yeah, you're still doing the sweet thing.
Yeah, and it's just an explosion of cherry to go with it. But when you swing to the other side of the pendulum, like the LaCroix and these store brands... It's the sparkling water, and you're not overwhelmed with lime flavor. In fact, you're underwhelmed with lime flavor, and I think part of that is when you're done, you're like, well, did I even get a whole lot of flavor there? Man, I want another one, just because you didn't get that. Oh, you weren't overwhelmed. You were just teased with it.
And I would probably enjoy it if I would sample it more, find a flavor I actually like, and it's like flavored water, a little carbonation in there, right?
Yep.
But you're really low on the sweetener side. And I can tell you, that's how my palate has adjusted to coffee, where I would do a couple of the yellow packets. And now Stacy's converted me great while back now to sugar in the raw. So I started with one pack of sugar in the raw and one pack of the yellow. And now I just do two of the little packets of the sugar in the raw. She does one, but it's like, we ran out of those at the house. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I put two yellows in there, and it was like, I had to pour the coffee out. It was too sweet. So, you know, that's where we are changing. And some of those things, and look, when I quit drinking sodas, you know, I went on a tirade and gave you a whole rundown on one of the Saturday morning shows. You know, we have it filed away, but on all the bad things those colas can do to you. And I've not drank any since. Look, we had a firm party and I was doing, I remember the last time I actually had Coca-Cola was with Crown and Coke. And I felt horrible the next day. And I know you're thinking, oh, that's because you drank too much Crown. No, I didn't. It was the cola part that made me feel bad. So I was like, why am I feeling bad? It was, body was like, why did you do that to me? And then what are we last? The
bar food, of soap.
Bar of soap. And then the food. Bar of soap. So we use lemon bar soap. But what are they getting at here?
They just
rinse off?
No, or? They like the squeezy soap that comes out of the body wash that comes out of some bottle. But I like the old hockey puck Irish Spring, you know, because you can clean you
manly smell.
Yeah, or you can use it as a weapon if you have to chuck it at one of your kids or a home invader or something. I like that, but that's because I just grew up with that.
Partly to blame. Can I tell you a story? Marketing in high school class.
Okay.
I had one of those.
With bar of soap?
Well, it was, everybody was to come up with an idea and invent something. And I came up with the idea and I called it liquid squeeze, but it was liquid soap. And I did drawings of it where you could hang it on the bar in the shower or whatever and squeeze soap out instead of the bar soap. You know, and there was like 30 entries into it. Guess who won?
Did you win?
I won.
Wait, they didn't have soap back then that was in some sort of liquid or gel form?
Not that I'd never seen it, but I thought it was the coolest heck idea. So I created a campaign and all the participants voted is what it was. And I won. Like, dadgum, I should have put that into a business model and went forward.
How heck old are this
bar soap?
We're older than liquid soap. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. What's up? It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Now, you can also give us a call or send us a text from the Winning at Life app. Go download that. Put it on your phone. There's a one-time login. And from then on out, then we can be bestest friends forever. We can do this every day if you want. We have another Gregory Ricks Live coming up November 14th. That's going to be on a Wednesday. And I got bad news. It's already halfway full. So, I mean, that's good news that it's not full. Don't want to discourage you from being interested. I'm just trying to encourage you to get on it. We had quite a wait list from the last event, so most of that already filled up. So November 14th, maybe check your phone real quick. If that's open, join us for Wine, Wisdom, and Food at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. And RSVP, you can use the app for that, or you can call Gregory's office, 504-832-9200.
What about the causeway?
Oh, yes. Thank you. The causeway is now officially reopened. If you're just joining us, there was a 3-car wreck of some sort, and the entire northbound side had been shut. Apparently, they got that all scooted over to the nearest crossover, and people are flowing back to normal now. So, thank you, Angie Berlier, for that update. You want to do some numbers, and then we'll talk about what's going to happen to these numbers should a few black swans show up? Or you want to do the black swan first, and then the number?
Well, let's talk about the market volatility surge, and you know what? Let's talk about the numbers real quick, and then we'll run through a couple of points here that I have. It's not very long, but it's important.
Right. So it was a record-breaking day yesterday on Wall Street. Less so today. It's all red across the indices. Dow Jones was down 0.75%. The S&P was down 0.8%. NASDAQ was down 1.8%. Russell was down 1.5%. So you kind of get the trend of what's going on here. Which, Gregory, after the record-breaking day, we were all sort of euphoric in a totally down day where it was down more than, quite a bit more than this. It rebounded up to 0.75 in the negative on the Dow. But that means this jobs report tomorrow is going to, a lot's going to hinge on this, more so than I thought, because we have big losses all across the short sheet. And that's something that can turn this around in a second.
But, you know, do you know why we had 200-point sell-off today? Who it mostly affected? Techs. And there have been a lot of news coming out today about on these boards, on servers and such. There's this little tiny thing built into the chips.
A little spy chip, right?
Done by subcontractors in China. And this could have infiltrated our military computers, the Pentagon, CIA. Actually, Amazon, in vetting what they're trying to do, discovered it. Like, why is this on there? So it's created a stir. And I kind of wonder, I'd be like, look, here's my take on this. I know we don't have much time, so I'll be brief here. It's like, okay, well, yeah, let's let China build our tank engines for us.
That's a bad
idea. You know, on our bombers, why don't they, yeah, we'll let them build the turbines, you know, which on a tank, it's a turbine, you know, on our bombers and our spy plane. Yeah, let's order the engines from China. Really? So why are we using their subcontractors to do computer stuff? It's just a question. Just a question. I think it needs to come to a screeching halt out there. You know, I don't know if anybody outside the U.S. should build stuff that has to do with any possible link to national security. 10-year treasuries, 3.204.
Woohoo.
So wasn't it cool? Yeah. We've seen it just keep inching up there. Crude oil dropped off a little bit from yesterday, but we're still at $74.75 for a barrel of crude. Brent crude is $84.93. Gold still hanging around that $1,200. $1,202.70. Silver, gosh, I swear I think it's unchanged, but it's $14.61.5.
It does sound like a familiar half a number.
Cent, yeah. It just keeps staying right there in that range.
All right, so the short sheet is an illustration of what Gregory was describing from the tech sector. We have the techs, the FANG stocks, and a couple of other trailing techs right under the indices on the short sheet. If you're looking at the charts and graphs here, Facebook down 2.3%, Apple down 1.8%, Amazon down 2.2%, Netflix down 3.6%, Google down 2.9%, Microsoft down 2.1%. These are all huge moves for a one day on the market. Twitter down 2.7%. Roku's down 8% in one day. Spotify almost 5% in the negative. Snap 5.2% in the negative. Yeah, a lot of people getting beat up over in the tech side.
Yeah, there's a rare thing we might do tomorrow, and that's actually some buying depending how the jobs numbers come back tomorrow. Because this is what volatility does, and sometimes there's a disruption. So you think this is permanent, like, oh, because of this chip, all these tech stocks just going to keep going down? I don't think so. But it's kind of like, oh, panic, ugh. Somebody's selling. I don't know why, but could it be a discount? You think volatility is gone? See, the U.S. stock market's climbing to record highs once again, and volatility has calmed down dramatically. Remember, there was an index we used to cover.
Well, the VIX is still on the short sheet, the old VIX.
Yeah, except it just doesn't make our level of news, does it?
No, 14 on the VIX is nothing to be concerned about.
Yeah. So it's calmed down dramatically from its panic-induced levels earlier this year and in past years. Traders become complacent as they passively ride the stock market higher and bet on lower volatility again. Now, are there some indicators that are warning us that maybe we might have another volatility surge? And I think volatility is opportunity. Remember, one of our real estate gurus in the New Orleans area kind of says, you know, you make the money on the buy. I feel that way about stocks also. So the first indicator is the 10-year/2-year treasury spread that is calculated by subtracting the 2-year treasury note yield from the 10-year treasury note yield. The 10-year, 2-year treasury spread is helpful when estimating the next recession is likely to occur. See, there's a chart I was looking at that shows the inverted 2-year 10-year, 2-year treasury spread leads the CBOE, the volatility index, or the VIX, by approximately 3 years. If this historic relationship holds true, we're about to experience a whole lot more volatility over the next few years. Now, I think for that is probably a little more that plays into it. Now, smart money and dumb money in the volatility index or VIX futures, the smart money or commercial future hedgers who tend to be right at market turning points are building up another bullish position in VIX futures, just like they did a year ago ahead of the stock market correction and volatility spike. In addition, we have the dumb money or large traders who tend to be wrong at major turning points have built up large short positions like they did before early 2018 volatility spike. The positioning of these groups of traders indicates that another volatility spike is likely ahead in the not too distant future. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but you know, you see these things and you say, oh, this is something I need to be aware of. And that's what you're looking at is information and data. Just because it has happened doesn't mean it will happen again, but because it has happened, you should be aware of it. The volatility of volatility is currently at unusually low levels. Once again, right. Volatility of volatility. You know, and look, if things get crazy, we will start talking about it again, but it's been off our radar for a while, which means that volatility is likely to pick up again soon. Volatility typically moves in cycles. Periods of low volatility lead to much higher volatility and vice versa. Everything is cyclic. You've got a front end loader on a washer machine, or just say your dryer, and you've got a glass door. Go tape, get you some skinny blue tape and tape a cross on it and watch how things cycle. The market does that too. What's in favor goes out of favor, then back in favor. Let's see, where's my next point here? So the prospect of volatility spike is quite alarming considering how inflated the stock market is. Volatility spikes typically occur as a result of bearish stock market action instead of bullish action. And you know, we just ran out of time. I've got a couple more points, but I tell you what, we're going to pick this up once again and add it to our Saturday morning list at 10 o'clock.
All right. If you have the need for a financial advisor, I recommend Gregory Ricks, founder and CEO of Gregory Ricks & Associates. Go to gregoryricks.com or 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.